believers in Christ are infused with a spiritual DNA, which stands for divine nature always. In other words, we are empowered to obey, to live, and to share the gospel message. And now, Elder Michael McGilvie, one of our associate pastors, continues our series on Show and Tell in a sermon entitled, You Are Empowered. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, y'all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Will you look to the Lord with me? Father God, in the name of Jesus, have your way today, Lord. Move in a way, Lord, that you never moved with me before. I want to preach your word. I want to teach it, Lord. I want the anointing to be there. I want the power of God to be in this message, Father God. Not just for me, but this your people, Lord, in a very, very special and significant way. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Will y'all agree with me right now by saying amen? Amen. Look with me to Acts, the first chapter. Amen. I believe it's on the board up here. Amen. Acts, the first chapter. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. Try to get through them. Amen. Amen. You know, it's one thing, you know, about having the DNA, amen, of God. You know what the DNA of God is? Y'all remember Elder Max saying that before, don't you? The divine nature always. You know, it's different than the DNA, amen, in regards to what's the makeup of mankind, right? This DNA, amen, because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. He said, it's no longer body, soul, and spirit. Now, because you have been converted or transformed or saved, it's spirit, soul, and body now. Spirit, soul, and body now. It's all about what? The spirit of man. I have anything to do with that. God knew that it was going to be like this for me. Amen. I was some protocol there, but I mean, my life, you know, wasn't from birth like that, like maybe a John the Baptist, you know, or something like that, or how he called Cyrus 200 years before he was born or something like that. No, I came after I was out there dead in trespasses and sin. And somebody prayed for me, witnessed to me, and I became a child of God by believing what they said. Amen. Believing what they said and saved me. My brothers and sisters, I feel out of obedience to God in this particular life that he's given me and the one to come. Because, you know, it's going to be some life after death. Once you get saved down here, it's going to be life after death with the Lord forever, right? It's about fulfilling, amen, my commissioned duty or assignment while I'm down here. Being empowered to further God's kingdom. Amen. By any means necessary. And I ask humbly, my brothers and sisters, that y'all would embrace these same convictions as well. Could you say amen with me? Amen. And look at that verse 1. amen, of our text here in the book of Acts. Amen. I get so excited. Amen. Yeah, we're looking at a former account, right? He said, made up, O Theophilus, all Jesus began and to do and to teach. Amen. Here we find in our text that, amen, Dr. Luke is who it is. And he's called in Colossians 4:14 the beloved physician. The beloved physician. Dr. Luke also wrote, because this is a previous account, amen, of him, which was the Gospel of Luke. Amen. Amen. He's addressing this same person, Theophilus. And his name means friend of God. We just got through saying that I am a friend of God. Amen. And anybody that's born again today is a friend of God. Because Jesus said, I believe in it, that was in John, the 15th chapter. He said, I no longer call you just a servant. I call you friend. A friend is it's deeper in relationship to him. You know, we have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. All men and women of God have an intimate relationship with God. And you know what? You can make that intimacy with God even greater, amen, in your life. Amen. So he said he's a friend of God, Theophilus. That's what his name meant. Theophilus was thought to be a Roman high official, probably, you know. That doesn't really give a whole lot of information about Theophilus. You know, I meant to look at Josephus, the Jewish historian, in regards to when I come to issues like this, but I failed to do that. Amen. And all I can find, amen, in what my reading and my research was that he was just a high-ranking like official in the Roman Empire. Amen. It's not to say that because they were rulers of the world and that they was kind of vicious at times that nobody could ever come to the Lord. Amen. We find a Roman centurion in what? Luke's gospel. Who was that? Cornelius, right? Amen. We find Romans at the Jesus' cross. He said, truly, what? This man is the Son of God, right? He was a Roman soldier. Amen. So it's not to say that Gentiles could not, with Ethiopian Union, huh? Amen. So, you know, it's not to say that Theophilus could not be a Christian. It doesn't say that, but he sure was inquisitive, amen, in regards to the details of who Jesus was. Amen. Amen. Luke is a Gentile himself and was given special privilege by God to write both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Amen. You just think about it now. If the Gospel of Luke wasn't in the Gospels and the book of Acts, you said the book of Acts is called the Acts of what? The Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And guess who penned that? Luke. Luke is the one who did all of that. Amen. So, you know, just think about it. If Gospel Luke wasn't in there, in his account of who Jesus was, right? And they said that the Gospel, what Luke did in regards to his writings, he said his writings were more than all of Paul's epistles put together, just in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. Amen. So he was very, very, what? Significant. Amen. In regards to our understanding and grasping what salvation, who these men and women were of God in the New Testament, and how the Holy Spirit was and all of this, this brother, he was very, very instrumental. And not only that, he followed along with Paul. We find it in the book of Acts, how he followed along with Paul, amen, in his missionary journeys. So, here we find Luke giving Theophilus a brief account of how Jesus taught his disciples in word and truth. And so he was relating all of this, conveying all of this to Theophilus. Excuse me, telling them how these disciples would carry out the ministry that Jesus gave them. And when we look at verse 2, you know, hey, wife, will you read verse 2 for me?
Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had
amen, until the day he was taken up. That was speaking of his ascension, amen. We're going to talk about that later on. But until the day, it seemed like Luke was going in reverse. You would have thought that he would start back here, and then when he got to the ascension part, that would be next. But guess what? He started right here with the ascension, just in verses 1, 2, and 3. And then he's going to go into some detail in regards to some power here. He said, up until the day he was taken up, speaking of his ascension, in verses 9, 11, and 22 of Acts, which describes, amen, Jesus' earthly ministry, where the Holy Spirit was the source, amen, and power of Jesus' ministry, according to a reference of Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 1. And why we, in, Matthew 4 and 1, where Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. But before he went into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, Matthew 4 and 1 said that he was led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, not only he had to be endowed Jesus, and he also, by endowing him, he led him. So if Jesus, my brothers and sisters, amen, was endowed with the Holy Spirit, we said that he had the sevenfold Spirit of God. I think that's in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, or the, I think it's right in that area where Jesus was, I can't quote them all. I think it's about 7 or 9 of them or something like that. Amen, of these different types of attributes that Jesus had. Amen. We as believers could have the same thing. Amen. We need not ever, amen, as men and women of God, get beside ourselves. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. You in doubt. Amen. He was in doubt. Amen. And being led. Now, being led, you're going to really have to be where God wants you to be. And as believers today, because we have the Holy Spirit, there is absolutely no excuse that you should not be led of the Spirit. Amen. So if you're not led of the Spirit, what are you doing? You're quenching him some kind of way in your life. You're grieving the Holy Spirit some kind of a way in your life so he won't have control. Because being filled with the Spirit, right, is not just pouring something in you. It's being led of the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's the men and women of God today. And if that's going on, John, the 16th chapter, said that the Holy Spirit came to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Amen. I might be getting ahead of myself, but I think that was appropriate that I say that. But if I am getting ahead of myself and I repeat that later, count it to my head, because I'm going to say it anyway. Amen. Y'all still love me? He showed after his, verse 3. No, I need to go back to verse 2 just for a moment. He says where the Holy Spirit was the source and power of Jesus' ministry. He also had given his sovereignly chosen 12 commandments and authoritative truths and how they should govern themselves. But guess what? In the Gospels, when he gave this to them, it kind of like went over their head. But when they, on the day of Pentecost, received the Holy Spirit, a lot of that, what Jesus said, came back to them. They said that the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, amen, the Gospels and the Epistles, right, Paul, Peter, John, Jude, these are commentaries to the word, to the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So when we look at that, Amen. They got these truths from Jesus, but it was going to come to or manifest itself later on. We find in the epistles where they had all this, the Acts of the Apostles, in Luke was telling, and all of a sudden Paul was in he's talking about Colossae, Ephesians, Ephesus, and all these different places where Paul established churches in the book of Acts. Amen. So he gave these guys, and the only time it was going to manifest or come to fruition was in the epistles. We see that. Now, he also showed, verse 3, after showing many infallible, what? Proofs. And before, yeah, all right, go ahead.
Being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
He also showed after his sufferings many infallible proofs before over 500 individuals. Amen. Well, he called them eyewitnesses, right? In his glorified state. Amen. Now, he did walk around in Jerusalem as in his ministry in the flesh on earth. Amen. But, amen, he wasn't in his resurrected form at the time. Amen. So, after he resurrected from the dead, he appeared to these guys, over 500 eyewitnesses. Amen. At different intervals. Amen. At different times, in other words. He appeared to them, amen, or say, Dalton Thomas, right? In an upper room where the doors were shut. Amen. And infallible proof. Amen. It was 11 in there, right? We just got through saying when we started off this service where there are what? Two? So how many was in the upper room? Not even 12. It was 10. Why I say 10? Because, wait a minute, somebody did say 11, didn't they? You're right. Yeah. Because Mr. Judas Iscariot went out and hung himself. Amen. Because of what? He betrayed Jesus. Amen. Amen. So in another area where he showed an infallible proof to these brethren, he showed it to Tom Thomas, not only appearing through doors that were shut and windows that were shut. Dalton Thomas, the week before, didn't believe that Jesus appeared. And then the following week, what? He showed up again. Intervals, right? And he what? Showed him what? The nail marks in his hand, his feet, and where they had stuck him in the side with the spear. And the only thing that Dalton Thomas said, Jesus didn't go to the rest of the 11. He just went to, that's right. Wait a minute now. I thought I was right in the beginning because it was only 10 in there because somebody was missing. Thomas and Judas Iscariot, right? So the next week it was 11. And so he went straight to him and said, look at my hands and my feet. And as soon as he saw that, he said, place your hand there. And when he touched Jesus, amen, 1 John 1:1, he said, he touched him, filled him, and he did all of this to Jesus. And, amen. Here, Dalton Thomas placed his hand in his side and all of that, and he fell to his knees and said, what? My Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you have what? Seen and believed. Blessed is who? Those that have not seen. Who is he talking about there? He's talking about the men and the women of God today, then and today. Who have not seen. I have never seen Jesus before. Amen. But what? In order to be saved, you got to believe, right? Amen. In order to go to hell, you got to unbelieve. Excuse the diction. Amen. But that's true, right? Amen. So, after the 40 days, which was an infallible, he was with them for 40 days after his resurrection. Amen. And then in his resurrected, his glorified body, they still saw Jesus talking to them. Said, "Why, man, 40 days ago, he rose from the dead. This man was dead, and he rose from the dead. I remember him walking around. I remember the nail marks in his hands and all of that. All of them saw that. 500 of them. Amen. So he gave the apostles, amen, because of this holy boldness, amen, where they could be steadfast, unmovable, amen, in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. That only happened after the day of Pentecost. That's Acts 2:42. But this is, I believe it's like the benefits of salvation. Amen. Verse 4, my sister.
And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me."
Jesus had taken his closest followers out to the Mount of Olives and commanded them to remain, amen, in Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father. Amen. He said, which you have heard me speak before. What was happening here, my brothers and sisters, is that they were waiting for the day of Pentecost. Amen. Which was 10 days. Like I said, I was going to mention something like this earlier, but I'm thinking that because I'm human, I can't remember at times in small spaces and this and that. However, I ain't giving any excuses. Luke tells us that the risen Christ here appeared to the apostles. Amen. Showing once again that proof, amen, what was going to happen to them. Verse 5, because we got to go right into that. And go ahead, sis.
For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Amen. Jesus said, though John baptized you with water, they, however, were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were going to be empowered. Amen. Not many days. It was approximately 10 more days. Amen. Because it was already 40 days. 10 more days, it was going to be the day of Pentecost. Amen. This baptism is the promise of the Father. Now, it's important, amen, right now, to note this particular juncture in this message. Amen. Because this is very, very important, because some have, amen, not understood exactly what baptism is. Some clarity need to be given. Jesus is here is not talking about, though he said John baptized with water, right? He was not talking about that baptism. In contrast to that, he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which places me and you as believers into the body of Christ. In Matthew 3:11, John mentions the three baptisms. In Matthew, the third chapter, the 11th verse, he mentions three baptisms. He mentions water baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism, and he mentions fire baptism. The first baptism was with water, amen, and it's an outward, amen, for the church today, an outward, listen to me, sign identifying Jesus with his death, burial, and resurrection, amen. However, the baptism of John's, the water baptism of John's ministry was unto repentance. Understand what I'm saying? In expectation of the coming of the Messiah. That's what he was doing. Everybody said, you told it was Pharisees and Sadducees. You brood of vipers. Who warned you and all of that? Amen. To come. Amen. And all of this. The second baptism is being placed, which is being baptized into the body of Christ. We look at Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13 says that we are placed into the body of Christ at the point of belief. At the point of belief, which is the gospel of your salvation. It's a simultaneous thing. Amen. It's not a tarrying thing. amen, of somebody having to wait, amen, for the Holy Spirit to come, but they have confessed Jesus Christ. And then they have to wait a long period of time, and nobody has really put a time. I have spoken to in church circles about this, and this is what they told me. I'm saved. I don't have the Holy Spirit. I said, excuse me? You're what? And I didn't have, well, yeah, I just could quote it, but, you know, they had to believe me. They didn't have to believe me, but that's word. Word says that at the point, Ephesians 1:13, of belief simultaneously, amen, God seals you. Now, can anybody just say, accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior? I don't think so. Romans 10 and 9 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe where? In your heart now, thou shalt be saved. And we're not ruling out of Ephesians 2. He said, well, by grace you've been saved through faith. Amen. So, amen. And this is what will happen. He said, and thou, Romans 10 and 9, we shall be saved. But here he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in regards to Ephesians 13, where it comes simultaneously, sealing you, and you can't lose it because it's the seal of the Holy Spirit. I remember one preacher, amen, over there, he said that, can anybody get in a spaceship and go up to the third heaven and unanchor your soul? Well, you can't do it. Well, our technology will never do it today. Amen. That's unimaginable. Amen. And that's how it is. That's the assurance that men and women of God have at the point of believing that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died and rose again. Amen. Thou shalt be saved. You know, every time I get up here to preach, Satan is a liar. And I believe he's a liar when Elder Seawright gets up here. I believe he's a liar when Elder Jews gets up. Anybody that gets up here to preach God's word, Satan is a liar. Because he made my iPad go out. It's back now, y'all. He's still a liar. Amen. So, he said, a cross-reference to this is 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where if you was to read that, it shows how the men and women of God are baptized into the body of Christ. Maybe I ought to read that. Amen. I think I should read that. Amen. 1 Corinthians. Amen. Amen. See, that's why I need my regular Bible up here. Amen. I got it up here. Amen. Amen. I got a Bible up here. 12th chapter, 13th verse. It says here, my brothers and sisters. Amen. You know what? He said, that brother sure is long up there. Look at him. Well, they stood all day long for Moses. Man, you ain't Moses. For by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, right? Whether Jews, Greeks, slaves or free, and all been made to drink into one spirit. I should have wrote that down. Amen. But there it is. Nonetheless, word is going out. Thirdly, the baptism of fire speaks of, amen, judgment. One brother, then, when I first got into the church, but when I went down to one of the conventions, he was running around saying, I'm saved, sanctified, and fire baptized. And I thought he was, because my theology wasn't until I learned that he was out of line. Fire baptism means judgment. Revelation 20:15 says, and anyone not found written, right, in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Fire baptized. Amen. This is what that is. Can I tell you a little bit more about this? We find in John the 14th chapter, right around the 15th verse through the 16th, Jesus said, if you love me, we talk about the Holy Spirit, y'all. Keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. Now, if Jesus is praying for me and you, if I believe this, if I believe in him, if I keep his commandments, amen, I got to keep his commandments, amen, after I get saved. Is that what he's saying? If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. I cannot get into a love for the Lord. Like we said, this was the early church. This was the early following of Christ. The Holy Spirit had not come at this particular time when Jesus said this. Nonetheless, amen, this is what he was telling his disciples. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, somebody that's just like Jesus. They call him a paraclete. Go parallel with you in your life. He's right there with you, right beside you. Amen. Amen. He's a one that goes alongside you. Amen. He's like, Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, meaning that he was the comforter at the time. And so if Jesus, he said, and me and my Father later on in those verses, I'm in my Father and he's in me. So if Jesus is in his Father and he said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So therefore, when he says that the paraclete is going to come, which is the Holy Spirit, that means that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is in every born-again believer today. Amen. Because if it wasn't, Jesus said, the scripture said, let this mind be in you, which was also in the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit? No, he didn't. What did he say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God planned salvation, my brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, provided it. And what the Holy Spirit is doing is supplying it. Everything about God, he said, I'm going to teach you everything that Jesus said. I come to exalt Jesus Christ, amen, in your life. And everything about Jesus, I'm going to make known to you. So we have the triune God here in our lives in these last days. Elder Williamson used to tell me earlier in my ministry, man, why you get some of the hardest areas in the Bible to preach on? You know, and I said, well, man, I just want to do it. You know, I just want to research that, man. You know, and sometimes, amen, I get to a point where I said, man, you're right, brother. This is too much. But now, I can hang. I think I can hang. Everybody, God is a God of variety. Am I right or wrong? Amen. Everybody's not the same. Amen. My ministry, his ministry, but we have one thing in common, that's preaching, and that we're saved. Amen. Amen. Well, we find the Holy Spirit as well empowering historically. We find him on hoovering over the waters in Genesis 1:1, right? Then we find him in Genesis 6:5, where the Lord told Noah that my spirit will not always strive. Amen. The Holy Spirit is an eternal being. Amen. We have to know that. Amen. This has to be given, because somebody might not in here, as small as we are, may not understand that. So I'm just going to have to give that up. This is ammunition for you when you come across these scoffers out here and all of that. Amen. Amen. Now you can tell them. Now you can fight. Now you can be apologetic, right? Amen. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments and all of this. So we find a spirit hovering over the water, empowering journeymen to build Solomon's temple. We find David saying, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Amen. When he sinned against God with Bathsheba, right? In Psalms 51. Amen. We see in the New Testament, Ananias and who? Sapphira. Lied to who? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Et cetera and so on. There's a lot of et ceteras, right? I can't go through all the et ceteras. Verse 6 and 7 says, my sister, after all this, they were anxious, for they questioned Jesus, right? Asking him, was he going to restore the kingdom? Though there was a prospect before his crucifixion that they had. They were sick and tired of the Roman oppression. Amen. Are you going to establish your kingdom now? Jesus, in his 3-year ministry, they were asking him this. Amen. How now, however, after his resurrection, amen, amen, this same question resurfaced. Amen. Are you going to establish your kingdom? See, they wanted independence, amen, as a nation. And they wanted to reign with him like he told them that they would. Amen. They wanted all of this. Amen. One writer said that Jesus sympathized with their feelings and he understood them. He did. Amen. He knew the kingdom would be set following the age of grace. Amen. And that's been like over 2,000 years, right? The age of grace. Amen. The dispensation of what? The Holy Spirit. This is what we're in right now. Though he said it was not meant for them to know the times or the seasons, there was a greater, amen, concern that was, and that was the spread of the gospel. The spread of the gospel. And that put their questions to rest. Amen? Verse 8, my sister. Christ's witnesses needed power. We need that power too, that same power that, amen, they had then. We go, amen, that's what's going to, that's that endowment that we supposed to have, that feeling that we supposed to have. He provided it with to them, charging them to wait until they were endowed. Amen. And the cross-reference to that is, though it wasn't in that particular verse, Luke 24, 49. Is what he said there, to wait. For he stressed the need of the Holy Spirit's enablement, right? For this overwhelming task. It is, amen, for me and you. Why? Because I can't do it without the power of God. This word power suggests that we, as believers, are Christian witnesses in these last days. When Jesus first sent his disciples out two by two, right? He empowered them in Matthew 6 and 7. The result was that they cast out what? Devils, demons. They healed the sick. Amen. They didn't raise the dead. Amen. Though while he was on earth, he was the direct source of their power. Why? Because they reported back to him. After his resurrection, he commissioned them. Amen. After his resurrection, he commissioned them. Come on, brother. Amen. I shouldn't have said that about the devil. I shouldn't have said that about the devil, but he is a liar. After his resurrection, he commissioned them to a worldwide task, saying, all authority is given unto me, therefore to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is the authority that Jesus had there in Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 18th and 19th verse. This was after his resurrection. He said all of this. And so he's equipping not only them at the time, he's saying that to us. Is that just for them back there? No. Why? Because Jesus is where right now? On the right-hand side of the Father, making intercessions for me and you as of this at this moment. For me right now while I'm up here. Thank you, Jesus. They now had a much larger arena of activity right now. So they had the whole world. Amen. All nations. After the beginning at Jerusalem, they had to go Jerusalem and Judea. Now they are directed specifically. And this is us today. Amen. In your witness, this is a commission. This is an evangelistic duty. This is the number one mandate for me and you as men and women of God to go. Now, everybody's not an evangelist. Everybody's not. Amen. But there are ministries, amen, that are gifted brothers and sisters that are evangelists today, amen. And they have that ministry. However, everybody, as a man or woman, born again, believer today, has this mandate to do. You got to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. That's the arena of activity, amen. All nations, amen. And were directed specifically to Samaria, and then to turn to the uttermost parts, amen, of the earth. So that means everywhere in your capability. I can't go around the corner. That might be your uttermost parts of the world. Amen. Only place I can go is around the corner. I can't go on the other side of town. Well, that's your uttermost parts. But then pray, amen, ask the Lord, amen. He's the one that's going to bless you. And because you want to do what? His will. He's going to open up the doors for you so you can go. And this is the evangelistical application that we're supposed to have. His work of evangelism is the application of the work of atonement to the spiritual and moral needs of the whole world. This is yet to be a finished work. Amen. So he's asking us, amen, amen, one writer said, to be superhuman in this task. Superhuman. Why? Because we have superhuman power. Amen. We're not God. Amen. But we have supernatural power. The supernatural power of God, we have that. We should not shut this thing down. So he has told, as Jesus ascended, amen, the promised Holy Spirit could not have come. If he had not left, he could not have come. John 16, 5 through 15. Therefore, we would not be empowered to do any kind of witnessing today. If Jesus had not ascended back up, we would not have any kind of authority or nothing like that to witness. Amen. So we have to look at that. So here we find two angels in white apparel. Maybe I didn't get you to read, but that's okay. Well, I'm going to go on. We find two angels, and we find angels in the resurrection, in the birth of Christ. Gabriel, we find Michael in the Bible, and these angels, amen. We find these guys at Jesus' resurrection, two of them, one in one gospel, meaning that he was the one that was speaking. But here we find two angels, amen, after they saw Jesus ascend up miraculously, right in front of their face, amen. And he rose up, and he went back into glory. Amen. Because he had to go. If he didn't go, the Holy Spirit could not come. So they saw him literally. Five, I don't know how many was at the time, but he said he was seen by over 500 people. It's not to say there was 500 there. Because we find later on in the upper room, it was only 120. Amen. So nonetheless, he arose and he ascended back up. Amen. And then we find in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians says that these particular arguments in the church circles, when Jesus was going to come back, is it going to be just the rapture or the second coming? Which is which? Which is a post-millennial, amillennialist, and all of this and that? These arguments going on. What we do know, amen, to shut it down and crush this, is that Jesus Christ is going to come back, and no man knows the day or the hour when that is going to happen. But however, we know there's going to be a caught-up situation called the rapture. And when that's going to happen, nobody knows. We know it's going to be a second coming, literally, of Jesus Christ when he comes back and plant his feet on the Mount of Olives, and they're going to split north and east, amen, or south and west, amen, on that day. Then we find Armageddon coming in on the scene. But Jesus is coming back. Amen. Guess what? Jesus Christ, when you die, Jesus Christ came back as a Christian, right? He came back for you. And you don't know when your life is going to be over. Amen. So it behooves you, amen, to get that life together. This thing happened, though he was 40 days on the earth, and everybody seen it. 10 days later, 50 days, it was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means what? 50. 50. Right on time. God is always on schedule. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit, and it came upon. They spoke in tongues, this and that. Early church, amen. The acts of the Holy Spirit, amen. We see Peter, gate called Beautiful. We see Paul healing Dorcas and all these, amen. And then establishing churches and this and how the Holy Spirit was using them. Peter's been called, sheep let down. Go to Cornelius' house, tell him that. Holy Spirit, they get saved. Holy Spirit fill everybody. Acts of the Apostles. You think these things don't still happen today? My brother and sister, you've been empowered. Amen, to witness. You've been empowered to walk the walk. You've been empowered to talk the talk. You've been empowered to live the life. Amen. You've been empowered to say no, to resist Satan. Amen. You've been empowered to be led of the Spirit. Amen. Don't quit him. Don't grieve him. Amen. Amen. And on that note, will you stand with me? And we did say something here. Amen. At the point of belief, Ephesians 1:13. Belief. Confessing, Romans 10:9. With your mouth. Believing in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is there one in this category? Is there one that's in need of a Savior today? Is there one that said, well, wow, man, I'm too embarrassed to come up right now? Amen. Is anybody like that? Is there somebody here that, amen, need a church home? Anybody here that's in a backslidden state and they know that their life is in ruins, is in chaos, and they deliberately quenched the Holy Spirit and got out of fellowship with God? Is there you out there that really want to restore your relationship to God? Is there anybody who want to be strengthened in these last days? I'm quite sure all of us need prayer, right? Amen. We need that. But is there anyone that needs to be empowered to be effective for the ministry, whatever that may be in your life? God has given you a gift. Your gift is your ministry. And if you have not been effective in that, amen, truly you need to come up. But I'm going to ask a question. Will you close your eye for me right now and bow your head just for a moment? If there's anybody in our congregation that are reluctant for whatever reason, because, you know, the flesh wars against the spirit. The evidence of him is the fruit of the spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. But you've been suppressing some things in your life in regards to God. You won't get into the ministry. You just won't. You were there, but you just, for whatever reason, I'm telling you, you're not your own. The scripture said you've been bought with a price. Your body now, if you're saved, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you're not your own. I'm asking you, and I'm pleading with you, I'm beseeching you right now and urging you, whatever, turn that life over to God right now and get back into the fellowship of God. Let him use you to the furtherance of his kingdom even today. Is there one? If it is, will you raise your hand right now? Amen. Be seated.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.